We forgot our extension cord for the carousel, so you have to bear with us. John's going to be anticipating what I want on the screen as I go through the presentation. What do I have, about 15 minutes, Bob? Okay. Where's Terry, could you turn the lights down? First, I would like to just compare the old materials department to what is now called Nav Press. The primary differences would be that now we're producing material purposefully with objectives and deadlines when that would be produced and introduced to you, the staff, and also to the marketplace. We adopted the name because we were going into the marketplace. And so we're really still doing the same thing that the materials department had done in the past before my coming in November of 73. We're just ordering it, trying to think forward to the future, the materials we'll need then, and trying to develop a team of men and women that can take our raw resources, the knowledge that is generated from you, the staff, and put it into materials that other staff members can use in their ministries, plus the Christian community. I'll give you an example or an idea of where I started back in November of 73 to April of 74. I tried to put together an analysis of what we needed to be able to produce materials. And I thought the first four areas that we had to tackle were the area of productivity. We had to learn how to produce materials, the area of operations or internally carrying on the business. We had to have the qualified staff to carry out our objectives, and we also had to identify the markets that we were in, any markets that we were likely to go into in the future. Currently, we're very optimistic about Nav Press entering the bookstore market or the trade market and other markets at this time. The general publishing industry, which would be both secular and Christian, only has one area that's growing right now, and that's the Christian publishing portion of it. They're experiencing around an 18% growth this year, when all other, the secular publishing industries, are having 7% declines, things in that area. We're also finding that the Christian publishing industry has been overlooked for many years, that it's been a pretty strong industry by the fact that the people that get the notoriety for writing their books are people like Dave Rubin and Jacqueline Susan and Jermaine Greer. Yet we find out, after we analyze all the people writing books, that the top sellers are those in the Christian industry. Pat Boone outsells Jermaine Greer considerably. Anita Bryant is one of the tops. Marjorie Holmes would wipe Jacqueline Susan out of the list. And so the secular publishing industry is no longer turning its back on this. They're looking at it primarily for finances, but it is a very strong ministry and industry. John, why don't you go ahead and hit the first slide. We feel that the materials ministry has been created by God just as we've received mercy. We really haven't dictated where it is right now. God has just grown it. And we're really thankful for that, that he has developed a ball of clay that we can work with now and expect him to continue to grow it. And when you're working and trying to uncover why we grow and what causes people to buy our materials, you'll see it's all God, because we sure can't identify it quite often. And we'll do things wrong and the sales will still come in. We'll do things right and they'll go down. So we're not really sure how God is doing it, but we know that he is. Our objective for Nav Press is, as this states, you can all read that, it's primarily to work with the research and development team and any other authors such as Leroy Imes or Jim Downing, Scotty, somebody that would be writing a book, and put that book into a saleable unit, a book, a Bible study, whatever, and make it available to you all, the staff, plus the general Christian community. Next slide. To to do this, to get started at accomplishing this mission, we've tried to set up objectives for 1975, and I can share some of the results since we're almost through 1975, but in three major areas: in operations, which this identifies, in production, and also in marketing. In operations, I'm sure you're all familiar at some times you've had a materials order fouled up or a shipment, and it probably continues to happen. And we feel that the source of that is the fact that our computer order processing system for NAV Press was not set up to facilitate the growth that we presently have. And so in January of next year, we plan to have that online, ready to go, and be, well, we should have had it tested by that time and ready to go for the customer. Financial management, we wanted to identify what the capital requirements for running NAV Press would be. Accounts receivable was an area that, from industry standards, we were doing a very poor job at having our customers pay us. I think the average account rotated around 101 days. It took from the time the person purchased the material, 101 days to pay it was the average. The industry average at that time was around 61 days. And so if we're looking at a standard of excellence, we were pretty poor in the world's eyes. And so we undertook a program in January on the bookstores and churches, and now we've got our accounts receivable down to about 67 days. And we collected a little over $50,000, might have gone up to $70,000, did it, John? Around $70,000 of overdue accounts. Yes, Al?
How do you have staff doing in terms of accounts receivable?
They're a special case. I would say that they're the worst. And it's understandable. You're our biggest customer right now. You buy the largest orders. If we average it out per the number of orders that come in, your volume, dollar volume, is very, it's the largest. And so you're probably buying for a large ministry area, and you don't have the money on hand, and you wait till those materials turn. We're not sure why. It has dropped somewhat, but it still is the largest portion of our accounts receivable. And we're working on that in the future. We have plans to work on that. Accountability, we wanted to make sure that financially, cost accounting, all of these types of things that are common to business, that NAV Press had good systems, and we have now got a cost accounting system that's really revealing. It's showing the true cost of our materials, which in turn affects our profit. That's one of the reasons our profit continues to drop and our sales continue to increase, is because we're identifying more and more of the cost of producing the books and materials. Inventory planning and control, we're really, this is probably one of the toughest areas for the publishing industry or any manufacturing company to date. Because money is getting tight, that's an area that they're trying to become more sophisticated on. And we're nowhere near sophisticated, so we've got our share of problems in trying to anticipate what the sales are going to be, having the units on hand. And because our sales are so sporadic and we're getting into new markets, we could have well-laid plans of having 6 months of materials on hand, but in April was such a good month it just totally demolished all of 6 months' worth of products in a lot of cases. And what we thought we had a lot of, within days we were totally out of. And until we get a better understanding of what causes our markets to buy, this is going to be a problem. But the new computer processing order processing system under point one will be taking, or will be adding to the solution of this problem. I'm going to have to keep moving, John. The second area, production. First, we wanted to stop just producing whenever a material was evolved out of either the research team or editorial board or just a staff person. We wanted to do like the industry does, develop one or two production seasons a year and a cycle. And so we've done that. From January to June, we produce materials, and we're just finishing. The materials are going to press right now that will be introduced in a new catalog July 1. And so that gives us a lot more order in trying to take a large number of products and get them done for July 1. We have a lot of latitude in that 6 months to make sure they're done. And in July 10th to the 20th, something around there, the materials team will be meeting again and determining what we produce next fall. And then that will be introduced in January of 76. And so that cuts down a lot of confusion in just having materials come in and then get out whenever we can order it. And if we can't get it, we put it into the next season. So that's been seeming to work pretty effectively. Update existing materials. This was again back last September, and we had a lot of materials that weren't marketable because of their graphics. They needed some editorial changes. They were in our system 10 or 15 years without a change, and so it was time that we looked at them. And so we've virtually looked at, I think, every piece of material except for the notebook pages, which we'll be looking at next season. We've looked at that and updated it. And we're just finishing up about six updates, the beginning with Christ, going on with Christ, the two studies that go with those, and those will be coming out next month. The bridge tract has been updated. And so there's a number of things we've done there. And last season, I think we took 12 products. Your Decision, Introductory Bible Study, a lot of the NAV booklets we tried to redo. Develop new materials. We did the main thing is we developed a new line of NAV booklets. We felt that those were so popular, the Born to Reproduce and so on, follow-up, need of the hour, that we have extended that into a product line. Right now, we're introducing six new NAV booklets July 1, and that will give us a total of 12 new products or products in that product line. Four of those would be long-standing. The remainder of, will be new. And those have gone over very well. We just fully underestimated the amount that they would sell, and we ordered what we thought was a six-month supply, and in February we were wiped out of everything we had. And so, you know, we started off on a bad foot of not having products, but we just didn't know from history that things like that would go so well. The marketing goals, first we had to establish an image, and that was the popular symbol that you have here. Tim Arnsmeyer would be a guy that could get into that fully. I've explained why that came out like that, and he really knows and understands it and has a love for that type thing. So you can give him any questions that you might have. The one up at the upper left. I'm saying that rather facetiously. Number two, maintain and develop our primary market. When you go into a new adventure like this, you don't want to say, well, we don't want to sell to our existing market. We want to go out and chart new courses and new territory. You just, that's not common sense. And so what we wanted to do is find out how to maintain the business we had, plus hopefully see some growth. Our first objective was to come out with that catalog that came out in the log, and each of you received a copy, and it's available for conferences. What we wanted to do is in one document state what we had. I'd found that very few of our constituency, other than the close-in ministry group, really knew that we had more than the TMS and the SCL series. You know, and the truth of the matter is we have almost 100 items on this in this catalog when you look at the order form. So we wanted to do that. We also wanted to make, since you're giving us the most part of our business, I think you give us 28% of our income. 27% of NAV Press income is from the staff right now. We wanted to maintain that, so we developed that little NAV packet that you all received, should have received. We also extended the 40% discount to tapes so that the Scriptural Home Seminar could be purchased by you and used a little better, a lower price. And we feel that we've done that. We've accomplished, now looking back, we have maintained that market and increased it. The third thing is you're the only market we know about. The individuals that are on the log list, we don't really understand why they buy. They just buy on, you know, little pieces of paper and cards and on order forms that are 15 years old. And, you know, we don't know why they buy and what motivates them. A lot of those people are TMS buyers or things like that. And so we wanted to go into something that that we knew was there, we could identify as a market, and that was the bookstore market. They all belong to an association. There's about 4,000 Christian bookstores in the U.S., and around 3,000 of those belong to the CBA, or Christian Booksellers Association. So that was an obvious choice, and we were doing business with around 900 for various reasons. Either you had recommended some material, or one of your people had gone in and said, could you buy a DFD set or something for me from the navigators, and so they would buy. But I think the average order size at the first time I looked was around $12. And I'll show you a little later where it's gone to in our test market. So we wanted to test that market. This gives you a little breakdown on how we're organized. You can see the two areas that we've given emphasis to are the support functions and the production. Right now we've got under John Eames the financial and customer services area, shipping, customer services, customer accounts, and accounting. That's the abbreviations on the right-hand side. On the left-hand side, under Ken Metzger, are the editorial department, the art department, typesetting, print shop, and the tape department. And then my line responsibility is for developing the marketing and the advertising and the sales as that grows. I'll give you an idea of what each of these departments do. This is the girls in customer services. The next slide, go ahead, John. This is the guys in the shipping department. That's basically those two areas. We don't have a slide of the guys in accounting. I think that was formed after the presentation. This is just an idea of the amount of work. We didn't know how to express it, but to give you an idea of what goes on in customer services, they process around 31,456 orders a year, and now that's up to about 45,000 since we made this presentation. They have various and sundry tasks, filling catalog requests, sending out letters, 780 letters. This is on an annualized basis. Process 520 returns. This is an area that you'll see on the profit and loss statement that really hurts us, and it's primarily from the NAV staff and primarily to the conferences. We're trying to work on some ratios of how you determine what amount of material you buy for a conference. And I think it's ranging like you can take a dollar figure from $2 to $3.50 per conferee coming to the conference and then work out the content based on your audience. If they're a long-line NAV staff, close-in group, then you're not going to bring in the SCL and DFD and TMS and sell anything. One experiment we helped take part of was on a conference in Illinois at Urbana right after Christmas, and literally thousands of dollars worth of material were sold when we went through and thought through what should be sold. It was well over $10,000 at one conference. And most of the others go for $400, $300, $700. But all the ones that we've taken part in, we've gotten them well up into the thousands in most cases. And so that's an area that we're trying to take care of and give you a little better idea of how to order stuff. Customer accounts process 24,000 orders. Research 3,000 accounts, account adjustments 2,400, and so on. I don't have time to go through all these. In shipping, an interesting thing is you see the budgets down on the bottom. I assume those are in focus out there. 109,000 just to run the shipping department. $41,200 of that is postage. That's related to the size of orders and the shipments that we go out send out of here. Packages sent, 48,000. The budget for customer services over there is $88,983, give or take a few thousand. And those adjust as the year goes through. Ken Metzger and John Legassi have been trying to set up our scheduling system for our materials. The guys in the art department, Lee Schindler and his gang. The people in the print shop, Lyle Zimmer's in charge of that on the far right, and the men that work for him. And this is the type of things they do. And I'll probably just go through some of these and get to some of the other things that might be of more interest. Leave them up there for just a moment. Our budgets here. No, those aren't the budgets. I must have missed them on the other slide. Okay. We're experiencing growth. To give you an idea, looking at the staff, in 73, 74, we had around 18 people. In 74, 75, we're up to 28, and I don't believe that counts the print shop, does it? We're looking at, in the future, as we grow, on the bottom, this is some of the needs we'll have. If we set up a sales department, we're going to need at least three people to get that going. We need that editor that Bob talked about. We probably need another person in the graphics department. I think we're up to about two people each in the shipping department, order clerks and customer accounts. And so It's a very rapid growing department. Some of the other indicators, the sales figures, you look back in 72, we were doing about $394,000 business a year. That's net sales. No, that's gross sales. In 73, 633,000. 74, 790,000. And we're shooting for gross sales of a little over 90,000. Take out the returns and allowances and we'll be around 825, someplace a little over 800,000 this year. And that gives you an idea. Those returns come right from the bottom line, primarily. And when we have a lot of returns, it really affects the money the NAV Press can give to the general fund. This is a generalization of what our P&L statement or profit and loss statement is going to look like at this year. Net sales of $884,255. The cost of sales is what it costs us to produce those materials, $367,000, and that's where cost accounting plugs in. That has been growing because we've been accounting more cost. Our gross profit, $516,663, and then the $291 is what it costs to operate the department, salaries, various and sundry operating expenses, leaving close to $250,000 for profit. We want to communicate that right now we don't feel that we're saying we're plowing ahead with NAV Press. What I felt my mission was to analyze whether or not it would be the right thing for the Navigators to do to set up a publishing company for the purpose of continually producing materials. Well, we're not really sure yet. We're trying to identify the cost of growing. And I've tried to illustrate this. Even though our sales go up, we're going to be continually squeezing the profits because to be skilled, to have the capacity to handle whatever the future would have, $3 million a year or whatever, we're going to be looking at additional staff, marketing expenses, systems development, research and development. And those are all going to cost. And we've got very little of that right now coming out of the profits, so the profits look very good. I think that last slide represented a 29% profit margin. Well, next year we're looking at someplace between a 15 and 20% profit margin because we're adding these people and other activities. To give you an idea of what we call the main objective for NAV Press, we feel that the main objective is ministry. The byproduct is money. We look at ministry and number of units we distribute. To give you an idea of the growth of that, you can see what's happened to the TMS since 72 to 74. And since we've introduced the NASB version, that's really just gone out of sight. It's wiping out the King James and RSV, hands down. The SCL Book 1, we just took one book and look at the number of people that are at least starting into that Bible study. The Bridge Tract, which I didn't know there was one. When I met Tim, I thought the Bridge was a rapidograph pen and a napkin, and I thought that's what you guys were issued and stuff. and so now I find out they had a track after I arrived here, and nobody uses it, but somebody does, almost a little over 200,000. And it seems like when we come out with a new product, the sales just continually go, or just update the graphics, they continue to grow. So we're looking to distribute over 2 million pieces of literature this year. And to give you an idea of what's happened, in January we started our test market. And that was this catalog going out in the log. And we sent out to about 1,000 bookstores a packet like this, which contained the catalog, a letter explaining that we were going to stay in contact with them, continue to tell them what we had. We were going to carry on a business with them. And we introduced or gave them what I call the introductory offer. They had to buy $400 worth of material from us to get a special discount. And the initial results, when we made this presentation, you can see the number of orders processed compared with January and February of 74 to those processed in 75. April, I think, almost hit 5,000, didn't it, John? And so that 37% is probably even a little higher when we look at the number of orders coming in. And since then, I've got some of the results of the test market, and I'll just go through those and finish up. We had a test market to five states. Those 1,000 bookstores were in those five states. That was California, Texas, Ohio, Michigan, and Colorado. And to give you an idea, of the what happened. I'll just pull them out here. Ohio. And all we did, well, in Ohio, we sent out the test packet, then I made follow-up personal calls on the bookstore, as many as I could. Before we had the test, we had 11 bookstores in Ohio buying our material. After the test, up to date, we had 35, with a 218% increase in number of accounts. The average business those 11 accounts gave us on a monthly basis was $177 a month. That's up to $498 a month on those 35 accounts. That's a 181% increase. We feel that we're in 32% of the available stores there, but we feel we still have a lot of room to increase their average order size. Texas, similar story. In 74, we had 13 accounts. And this year, we after the test, we have 45 accounts, a 246% increase. It's easy to have big ones on such small numbers. But the thing that I was really encouraged by is they more than doubled their volume. They were $543 a month, went up to $1,215 a month on those bookstores. California was the one that really brought home the money. Let's see if I can find that one. California, they were doing pretty good without us. The staff out there did a good job. We had 63 stores in California out of a possible 220. After the test, we increased that to 132. The 63 stores were doing $2,550 a month volume. We increased that to $4,820. That was for a whole advertising campaign that cost me about $1,500. And in April, our sales were just shy of $100,000 for that 1 month. Why don't you hit the next one? We feel our ministry contribution is in the fact that our materials affect people's lives. And they're not the end use. You are. You're the ones responsible for really getting in there on a one-to-one basis. But we're hitting a lot of people that you all never come in contact with. And we continue to get letters from people in Rhodesia and all over the country that somehow started a ministry because of our they came in contact in seminary with our Bible studies and tapes and continued in those. And the other thing is that we feel that we'll be going out to the public, the more people, and it'll broaden the base of the ministry through the church, through bookstore contacts, the Christian community, and when we start translating purposefully in other countries. Right now we're translating through the initiative of our staff in probably about 30 countries. Why don't you just go through the next ones and I'm done. Our future emphasis will be producing materials for the family, for churches, for men and women, for their growth and development, and assisting other ministries such as New Zealand, Australia, and helping them get materials into their countries and any place that we can help translate. So that's what I see as the general objectives. That's it. That was pretty quick. Do you have any quick questions? Do you have time for that, Jerry?
I think we better go on, but can you hang around, Dan?
Sure.